So before I get started, the Securities and Exchange Commission disclaims responsibility for any private publication or statement of any SEC employee or commissioner. This speech expresses the author's views and does not necessarily reflect those of the commission, the commissioners, or other members of the staff. So the SEC, I think it's helpful to start kind of at the beginning. The SEC has a three-part mission. We protect investors, we ensure fair and efficient markets, and we help facilitate capital formation, or at least those are the three goals we pursue. In the context of cybersecurity, it's really primarily the first two elements that are most frequently implicated, and that is protecting investors and ensuring fair and efficient markets. And so the SEC's approach is twofold. One, it is to look at public reporting companies and companies that are dealing with providing notice to investors. There is no specific requirement in SEC regulations or securities laws that specifies for public companies what has to be disclosed regarding cybersecurity. The laws haven't been updated to mention computers, really, or cybersecurity, but they've certainly been interpreted to look at what is normally required to provide as far as notice to investors about things that are good in your business, things that are bad in your business. Those things will obviously include issues having to do with cybersecurity and vulnerabilities. And the other main place that cybersecurity has a home at SEC is for regulated entities. And those can be brokers, broker-dealers, investment advisors, or some of the folks who provide critical market infrastructure. Not so worried about critical market infrastructure providers for today, but if you have questions about it, feel free to provide them. More about regulated entities. And so if you have an account with a broker-dealer, with an investment advisor, you want to have some sense that your personal identifying information, your PII, is protected, that they have policies and procedures in place where they're thinking about you as an investor and how they protect your information. And there are actually requirements written into the code about that. There's a safeguarding rule, and there's also a rule regarding protecting personal identifiable information. And both are tested. We have OC, which is our Office of Compliance Inspections and Examinations, which goes out and actually does inspections at broker-dealers and at investment advisors. And one of the things they're going to be looking for is, do you have policies and procedures as they apply to cybersecurity? And it starts at the beginning. What type of information do you have that is potentially vulnerable? What are you doing to try and protect that? How are you limiting access to that information to only those people within your company who should have it? And to the extent that you are working with outside vendors, what are you doing to make sure that they are also treating that information carefully? And there are a number of cases that have been settled with the SEC that go through issues relating to that. First order is just making sure you've got something written down. There's the R.T. Jones Capital Equities case where a company had about 8,000 customers and they would have to try and look to see if that customers was connected to an eligible larger group of customers who could potentially use their services. They were kind of a subcontractor for another vendor. And so they would match their 8,000 customers or prospective customers against a much larger database of the master provider. And so they had 100,000 records on a third party's web server, which was hacked. And they investigated the source of the hack and traced it to mainland China. They brought in a second consulting firm to do further analysis and remediation, notified all of the investors whose information was implicated, and did a pretty thorough job of trying to remediate, as well as coming clean about what had happened. And they ended up not having a very severe penalty, about $75,000 penalty. It gets worse if you have policies and procedures off the shelf, but you haven't actually looked at them or tried to apply them to your business. And we see that in the Craig Scott Capital case. And that is one where they had policies, procedures. They basically just looked like they bought them off the internet. I wasn't involved in the case. I don't know that that's what happened, but they had a person responsible for this particular function is X. But it actually just said X. Clearly, that's not good enough. They had rules against using non-company domain email addresses for using customer information, but the rules aren't that helpful if the principals of the company are sending emails from their personal accounts with all sorts of investor information and company business, which was happening at a high level. So they got whacked for a much higher penalty, and the individuals were also penalized. And it's just a reminder that from the SEC's perspective, if you're going to be handling on behalf of your regulated entity, handling investor information, you need to not just think clearly about how that can go wrong. You have to create policies and procedures, and you have to actually enforce those policies and procedures. Just having something written down is not enough. You actually need to assess and test. Saw that again in Morgan Stanley, where they had good policies and procedures. They had good training. They weren't doing enough to test whether the policies and procedures were actually effective. And so although there were supposed to be limits on authorization to access certain types of information, they weren't doing a good job of making sure those limits were enforced. Somebody got a promotion, but still had access to legacy data that was appropriate for his old position, but not for his new position. But no one actually tested to make sure that he had been removed from the prior list and added to a new authorized users list. And it led to an exfiltration of, I think, 750,000 customer records. They were supposed to have, and they did have, policies and procedures to prevent people from exfiltrating that huge amount of data. But this person was able to walk around those restrictions, which should suggest they didn't really have very effective controls. And so, again, the idea is